I feel like after that I should say, like, in the beginning or something. It's like, it's so epic, and then I feel like a letdown. But anyway, my name is Mark. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm a letdown. So good to see everyone this morning. Speaking of letdowns, the snow's a little crazy out there, so someone asked me, they're like, are you afraid there was going to be 10 people here today? And I never thought of it, and then I kind of got paranoid. I was like, maybe there will be 10 people here today. So thank you for getting out of bed. Thank you for waking up, especially if you're in college. Thank you for braving the snow and putting on boots and doing whatever you have to do to be here. It's exciting, like Sarah said, just to see what God has been doing as he's been building Movement Church, and we're excited about what is going on, and excited. If you haven't heard, we're going to be moving to the Hilliard YMCA in 2 weeks, and so we're going to be transitioning and doing our services there and be there on Sundays, and we're excited about just the potential of that and kind of the audience that will give us with Hilliard and with Greater Columbus, and so super excited to make that move and for God to do more in our church. I had a chance to be at the Y this week and get to clean out a dirty closet, which is always fun, right? Everybody loves to do that. So I got to do some sweeping, and they're actually giving us half of their storage closet, and so we built some shelves and trying to get things there a little more organized. And yesterday we had a group of our leaders had a chance to be over there and just give them the tour and talk about all the important stuff, like here's the bathroom, here's where the coffee will be, here's where the bathroom is after you drink coffee, and all the stuff that's really important when you find a church, you know. And so we're just talking about, you know, what setup will look like and all those fun things. And so it's kind of like that phase where you're like looking for your first apartment or house shopping, you know, just to go over there and walk in, you just can't help but be excited. And so it's been cool to make that move and kind of have it correspond with our story. And so like Sarah said, you know, God has written our story. God is still writing our story. And as we make this move, we just want to make sure as a church and as a group of people that we're kind of all on the same page. There's a saying that says vision leaks. And so rather than a year and a half ago, you know, when things started to say, hey, Movement Church, we want to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. I hope everyone remembers that for 10 years or so. We want to be a church that is constantly reminding us of our vision and some of the things that we value. And so last week we had a chance to talk about our value of celebrate, talking about the fact that, you know, why we meet for worship and how we do that. And so Josh had a chance to take us into Luke 10 and look at Mary and Martha. And obviously, if you know that story, you'll remember that sometimes we can be distracted with details, and sometimes we can even let the details of church and ministry and different things bog us down, and we can let them get in the way. And there's times that we just need to stop and pause and sit at the feet of Jesus and just turn our attention to him and look to him. And so that's what we've been doing as we've talked about our story. This week we want to talk about our value to connect. And so we believe here at Movement Church that connection is where growth happens. It's where discipleship happens. And so we want to just jump in the Bible this week together and paint a picture of what that looked like in the Bible, what that can look like for us as a modern church, and how we want that to continue as we move to the Y and as we kind of enter 2.0 of our church. That's what I should have said when I walked up, was 2.0 or something awesome, but I didn't. So anyway, we want to jump in the Bible and look at this today. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2. And if you have a Bible on your phone, you're awesome. If you don't, there's one under your chair or right around you there, and so you can pull that out and read it. It's on page 837 of that Bible. We're going to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. If you do not have a Bible of your own, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I would love for you to just take that Bible that you found on your chair, take it home with you today. It's our gift to you, and you can read that, you can study that, and just learn and grow. And so we want to give that to you and give you something that you can grow in your relationship with God. But let me read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and we can just look at that together. Page 837. It says this. It's talking about the first church, obviously, that started here and came to shape in the book of Acts. It says, they joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and they shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. This is a glimpse that we're given into the story of the first church. And they must have been doing something right, because all these years later, things still exist, right? I mean, if you go back in American history and think about different stores that have existed, you might think of, the other day someone said, hey, I got a gift card for Kmart for Christmas. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. But they said, do you even know where there is a Kmart? And I was like, honestly, no. I know where there used to be a Kmart, you know. And so we were talking. And obviously, for something to continue, for something to be sustained, there has to be something that's going well and something that they're doing right. And obviously, the church was started all this time ago and has still continued. And you see it in its various forms today. And so we have to wonder, okay, what was God doing in that church? What was going on in that church that they could celebrate that and be excited about it? And you can look at this passage and you can see so many different things, but we can learn that they were excited to be in the presence of other believers, right? They were excited to look into God's word. They were excited about what they were being taught. They were excited to fellowship. That's just a fancy Christian word for hanging out, right? They were excited to hang out, to be together, to enjoy each other. And it says a lot of other things, but it says that they shared life. They shared all their stuff. If someone had a need, hey, my car broke down, someone would say, okay, well, I'll sell my car and we'll buy two cars. You can have one. We'll split the money. But they were meeting each other's needs. They were getting together daily. They were worshiping in the temple. They were meeting in homes. These people were sharing life. And it says that they saw God in some pretty miraculous ways, and God added to their number daily. And so this is one picture, one glimpse that we're given into this first church, Acts chapter 2. I want to turn the page and go to Acts chapter 4. This is another glimpse that we're given, Acts chapter 4. Verse 32, it says this, kind of catching up a few months later, right? Looking at this church again and seeing what's going on. It says this: all the believers were of one heart and one mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. There was no poverty among them, because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. So again, we're just given a small glimpse in this church, a little snapshot, and God is being glorified. This church, they're seeing God. They're seeing God work. They have an accurate picture of God. And because they feel his love and his joy in their lives and their hearts, they're sharing the things they have. And what they have is contagious. Maybe you've been a part of a church, or maybe you've looked at Christians at some point in your life and thought, yeah, I see that. But maybe you haven't had that experience. I mean, when I read all the believers were of one heart and one mind, I got nervous right away, and I'm like, okay, if the groups of Christians that I've been a part of in my life, if someone were to write a story or give a snapshot about us, is that what they would say? Would they say, everyone there loved God, God was being glorified, they were one heart and mind, wow. Or would they say, like, these people were petty, didn't really like each other, tried to avoid each other other than an hour on Sunday, and did as little as they could to get by? I mean, that's honestly been my experience, and I assume it's unfortunately probably been your experience too. And yet, as a modern church, as a church in modern day America, we have everything that this church had, right? I mean, we have Jesus. They had Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit, right? If you've trusted your life to Jesus, we're told that he's given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to live with us, and to help us honor him with our lives. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have each other. I mean, they were getting together, and we're together. I don't know if you looked around. There's other people in this room. So in modern America, in churches that maybe you've been in, why can many of us say that I don't know that I've ever been able to say that? I don't know that I've felt that or experienced that, or why haven't I seen God move like that? Why haven't I been a part of community like that? Why don't I see results like that or breakthroughs like that, or why aren't our numbers going up? Why isn't God adding to the number? Why don't we see God moving? Now, I'm not going to ask you, like, who's ever been mad at a church they've been involved in? We don't want to embarrass anybody or have you put your hand up. But we've had those thoughts, right? So why don't we see things like you see in the book of Acts? I mean, they saw thousands of people trust Christ, give their lives to him and follow him and be part of this church. I'll say this, that I believe the way that we see the Holy Spirit is proportionate to the commitment and sacrifice that we show as Christ followers. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is dependent on us, but I'm saying the way that we often see him, the view that we're given of him, is based on the commitment and sacrifice that we show in living for him and in giving ourselves to his body, to his church. These people, we're told, were completely sold out. They were all in. They were devoted. But was this a one-time event? Is this something that God put in the Bible just to make us feel good and say, see, I told you it's possible. You guys are messing it up. What does it look like for us as a church to have this experience? What we see in Acts 2 and in Acts 4, what does it look like for us to connect on this level? Here's a quote that I read in preparing for this. It says, until you and every person in your church are actively ministering to the people around you, your area will not have an accurate picture of what the church was created to be. The commitment, the way that we're given to the church is a part of this recipe. And so I think as we read this, we naturally can ask some questions. Are we committed to God's church the way that we see in Acts 2 and Acts 4? Are we committed? Are we completely sold out? Are we committed to share life with those people through ups, through downs? I mean, let's be honest. It sounds really good to say, oh, that guy sold his field, right? Man, what a good person. But we don't know who he was selling that field for. It might have been for the person that had a job and got in an argument with their boss and lost their job, and then they couldn't afford their own field or they couldn't afford their own food. We don't know the story of who he was sacrificing for, and yet he knew that God had sent his son Jesus to give his life for him, and so he was giving his life, his possessions. He was committed. He was sacrificially giving, and he was all in. Are we committed and ready to sacrifice like that? Are we sharing life? Not just around each other. Are we sharing life? They were in homes. That's not normal in today's culture, right? That's why we have garage door openers. That's why we have fences so you can avoid people. I have friends that I've been friends with for like 10 years. I've never seen their house, right? They might live in a car for all I know. I don't know. They talk about this house I have, right? But when you're really sharing life with someone, you're at their apartment. Maybe they don't even care if it's messy, right? They just make you step over piles of clothes to go over there and hang out. But when you're friends with someone, when you're sharing life with someone, they're inviting you over. Andy invited me over last night and bought me pizza. That's sharing life, all right? So you might want to share life with him if you have it, okay? It's pretty awesome. He bought Papa John's. That's my favorite pizza. Sausage, in case you're wondering, right? But are we sharing life? Are we in each other's homes? Because I think sometimes we look at Acts and we're like, man, that was rocket science. I wish God would move like that. And we're basically given the ingredients. We're given the recipe there. They were sharing life. They were committed. They were sacrificial. They were completely in. They met the needs of each other. And they expected to see God move and work. Are we ready to share life? Are we ready to be given to God at the cost of sharing life? We have some different ways here as a church, as we talk about our vision, that we love to see people share life. And the first of those is movement groups. And many of you are in a movement group. But those groups are designed so that we can get together, right? And we can learn to be family. We can learn to be servants. We can learn to be missionaries. And we can study the Bible together. We can pray for each other. We can ask, hey, how was your week? We can say, oh, you're moving? I'll help you move. We can say, you're mulching this week? All right, I'll help you mulch. You haven't been on a date with your wife in 4 years? Let me watch your kids so that you can actually talk to her. Right? There's different ways that we can share life, but that's the design of those groups. And yet, just by having groups, a church doesn't just magically have community. They don't magically share life. We have to work at that. And so as we talk about sharing life, as we talk about being committed to God's church, I would love to just ask this audience today, have you committed to sharing life with other believers? Have you put yourself in a group where you can say, yes, I'm committed to God, I'm committed to his church, and I'm taking care of his church. I'm living out my faith, I'm growing, I'm letting people push me. For those of you that are in a group, are you living this out? I don't know if you own a field, but let's just pretend you did, right? Would you be willing to sell it? Or would you be willing to meet the needs of someone in your group if you knew that you could do that? On what level are you willing to sacrificially honor God, to share life, to be committed to his people, to his church? So that first question, have you thought about being in a group? Not that we need to talk about our groups or our church specifically. It's nothing magical, but God's word says that we need to be in community with believers. We need to share life. And honestly, we think we've designed a great way for that to work with your life. If you're in a group, take a second and just look at how you're living that out. Are you sharing life with people? Can you say, yes, I'm sold out to this church. I'm sold out to God's church, and I'm taking care of his people. Can you be excited and proud about the way you're living that out? Another way that we have that people can share life is our volunteer teams here. There's a group that gets here every Sunday morning and sets this room up. And they drink way too much coffee, obviously, because they're up early, and they make fun of each other, and they hang out, and they're together, and they're doing ministry, and they're serving. Right? They're being servants, just like Jesus was when he gave his life on the cross. And so as they're together, they're sharing life, they're talking about each other, they're teaching each other humility, and they're working hard together, and they're sharing life. And so that's another way that we've designed that you can connect here, that you can be around people, that you can use your gifts, and you can push yourself in leadership. Remember, the Bible says that we'll never be complete without each other. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says, instead, this is talking about when our gifts are used and when they're really glorifying God. It says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and strong and full of love. And so if we're not sharing life, if we're not committed to each other, if we're not giving our gifts, if we're not honoring God with our gifts, if our gifts aren't encouraging other people, if we're not working alongside each other, none of us see a full picture of God. None of us experience his love on the level that we were created to. And so even if you don't want to be in a group with me, even if you don't want to join a volunteer team, I've got to be honest, I want you to see a full picture of God, and I want to see a full picture of God. And the way that we do that is when the body works as it's designed, when we give ourselves and we're committed to his body and we share life with his church. The series has kind of been two-part, and so I wanted to just touch on that quickly. That's something that we're committed to. We're committed to people connecting. We're committed to people connecting through groups and through volunteer teams. And so ask yourself, have I been able to take that step yet? And if not, why not? And if you've taken that step, maybe it's just a chance for you to say, okay, I'm re-upping in my mind. I'm recommitting to that. I'm excited about that, and I know why I get up too early, or I know why I drag myself to that group every week, because I want to see a full picture of Christ, and I want others to see a full picture of Christ. To set the tone for a morning, I wanted to just ask you that question and let you think about that. I'm going to invite the band up. We're going to take a chance to worship and sing again, but let me pray and just ask God to work in our hearts and help us answer those questions. Where is our commitment and sacrifice, and is that what's controlling the way we see God? God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to be together with your church. Lord, we want to be a church that's connected to you, and Lord, to connect to you, we have to connect to your body, connect to other people. Lord, to sacrificially give and be around other people. And so, Lord, God, help us to just be honest with where we are today. Lord, if we've been dating you and dating the church, or if we've been given to you and we've made a commitment to you. Lord, a commitment to you means a commitment to your people and a commitment to care for your people, to spend time with your people and to give our gifts. God, we want to be given to you, and so help us to translate that and to be committed today. Lord, it's in your name I pray. Amen.